has been a time of remembering Jesus, our Savior, and the early church did this, and we continue to do this and remember the sacrifice that he made. We remember his life, his death, and his resurrection. So we give him thanks and we give him praise. So this morning, as we're going to talk a little bit about the resurrection power. So generally, it's during Easter time when we remember the resurrection of Jesus. However, I would like you to consider celebrating it every Sunday. And not only that, we need to recognize the personal reality of the power of the resurrection every day of our lives, every moment of the day. Indeed, the Christian life cannot be lived apart from it. If he did not do this, we would not need to be here. But he did. It is an ever-present necessity. So with that in mind, let's look at three aspects of that. So one, the resurrection power is personal. The resurrection power is personal for each of us. So it's one thing to be able to state all of the many infallible proofs of our Lord's resurrection. What's been written down, what's been written by even other authors. And to know all that helps us to be certain in our faith. And it's, if you ever wanted to look at that, look at 1 Corinthians 15 about who all got to see him. But I would also like to say how much more blessed it is to know that Christ lives in me. Galatians 2:20 says this, "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in the earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." See, the Apostle Paul demonstrated by his life the meaning of this, of it being personal. So listen, this is not an extraction or a change of the individual's personality, because Paul said, "Nevertheless, I live." So in other words, we continue to live as we do with the way God made us. So we do not become some kind of holy robots or program like a computer. For each of us is a different instrument in God's hands, and yet instruments so united with Christ that every moment, every movement is empowered by the resurrection. 2 Corinthians 5:16 says this, "So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun." That's amazing. That's for all of us who are believers. Think of it this way. Imagine a weathered, out-of-tune violin tucked away in an attic. In the hands of a novice, it screeches. But in the hands of a master, it produces beautiful sound. The violin doesn't cease to be wood and string. It doesn't lose its unique shape or grain. However, the music, when played by Jesus, produces a beautiful sound with our new nature. When we say Christ lives in me, we are like that violin. We're not robots. Our personalities remain, but the music of our lives, our patience, our love, our strength, our character is now being played by the risen Christ. The power is personal because the master has picked up the instrument. One author said, He said, when I speak of living, I do not mean myself, my natural being. I have no longer a separate existence. I am merged in Christ. He lives through us without erasing who we are. And this Christ is the risen, all-powerful one who lives in me and in you. So in light of that, so it's personal. Number two, the resurrection power is practical. There's nothing more practical, really. But some may ask, is this possible in 2026 with all of the changes that have taken place since the New Testament days? The answer is absolutely. For although the outward forms of evil have changed, maybe, through the years, it is still the same enemy of our souls who promotes the same evil world system. He is the very head of that system, Satan himself. Resurrection power is not only the most desirable weapon for these days in which we live, it is the only practical weapon. For it alone is capable of dealing not only with the externals, but it suffices for the victory over the prince of this world system. John 1, or 1 John 4 says it this way, but you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in this world. We have won the victory. Why? Because Jesus was raised. The Bible tells us that Satan is the temporary ruler of this world, and he does have an army. And there's two Greek words that express this, but Satan in Ephesians 6:12, and I'll read this in a minute, but he has control over the cosmos. He has the control over this right now, temporarily. Says this, Ephesians 6:12, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. See, but then when we look at Revelation 1:8, the same word is used, but it's used a little bit differently. But it talks about Jesus being over all of the universe, which he created. Revelation 1:8, it says this, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God. I am the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, the Almighty One. See, God assures us, his words assure us of the victory that we have. Is it practical? And again, what could be more practical that can give victory over the prince of this world system? See, and this does not violate the truth of the power of Satan. It does speak of the greater power, one who is within and who is greater than all the forces of evil. The main idea with this is this power is the specific weapon required to defeat a very real, a very modern day influence from the prince of this world. And this is, it is the same risen, all-powerful, personally indwelling Savior. So the resurrection power is personal, it's practical. And this last part, it is permanent. You might ask, but can it last? How do I know tomorrow will not bring a change to all of this? The answer to this is an answer to a consistent Christian life. And that answer is the word of promise. In Hebrews 13:5, God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Different translation puts it this way, don't love money. This is the whole verse. Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have, for God has said, I will never fail you and I will never abandon you. What is your focus? What is your focus, especially, I mean, today it's easy. We can remember. We're singing about him. We're talking about him. We've been talking about him all weekend. But what about tomorrow? Who is your focus? Is he number one in your life? See, God does not violate the limitations and boundaries of time when he saves us, but he does guarantee that time will not violate the permanence of the power of the Christian life. And who is this one who will never leave me? He is the same risen, all-powerful, permanently indwelling Savior. Think of it this way. Consider a house powered by a massive rushing river via a hydraulic dam, hydroelectric dam. On a pleasant sunny day, the lights stay on. On a day when the homeowner feels discouraged or tired, the lights stay on. Even if a storm rages outside, the river doesn't stop flowing. The power in the house is generated by the home. It's not generated by the homeowner's mood. It's generated by the constant, relentless flow of the river. Our resurrection power is like that river. It is a permanent current. Even when we feel low on our chart, we feel low, we're tired, the risen Savior remains the source. He doesn't go on vacation when our circumstances get difficult. He is the ever-present necessity that carries us through this world. In the light of such truth, Paul earnestly prayed that believers might know the greatness of God's power. He said this, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. That's Ephesians 1, 19 and 20. It's his core idea. We don't have to worry about the battery running out. God's promise is to never leave us. Ensures that the power is tied to his eternal nature, not our fluctuating emotions. There are two means of being carried safely through the world we live in. One is the Word of God. That is so important. The other is, as we've been talking about last week, we got to talk about who Jesus is. He is the great high priest. So it is the Word of God and the fact that he is the great high priest. It is the priesthood of Christ. Remembering what he has done for us as we did during communion. I mean, that's why we take communion, to remember who he is and what he has done. And I want to pray, especially during this holiday, that you would recognize the power of God's words found in the Bible. We need to be grounded in him. So Paul, I'm going to ask if you would come up, and as the praise band comes up to finish our worship service this morning, as we remember the resurrection, I would like to pray for you.